This is the Presiding Bishop's column with Elizabeth Eaton. She entitles her column, What Masks Do We All Wear? Getting ready to leave the house for work or errands takes a couple of extra steps during the pandemic. How do I know how crowded my destination will be? Did I remember to take a mask? Of all the annoying things about this pandemic, I find remembering to take and to wear a mask is one of the most irksome. Masks aren't comfortable, they make it more difficult to understand conversations, and they're a daily reminder that we are not yet out of the woods. Let me be clear, masks are an effective way to stop the spread of this terrible virus, and I will wear one for as long as it takes, and I urge all of us to do the same. This isn't about personal choice, but it is a physical manifestation that in baptism, we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. Wearing a mask is as much for our protection as it is for protecting others, and I will continue to mask up. I always thought it silly that bandits and robbers are depicted wearing only a mask from just below the eyes down. How could that possibly be a disguise? One's eyes, hair, and ears are visible, and you could still hear the voice. You could figure out a person's stature. So what's the point? Well, it turns out that sighted people get an enormous number of nonverbal cues from someone's face. Infants can read faces even before their eyesight is fully developed, and an amazing amount of communication is possible even when interacting with someone who speaks a different language. I don't think I'm unique in this, but I mentally fill in what a person looks like behind the mask. I make determinations about a person's age and disposition, not to mention physical characteristics. When I do see someone's unmasked face, it turns out that I'm always wrong. This could be as benign as not imagining a person had a mustache to more important or significant assumptions about the person's character. I mask people even when they're not wearing an actual mask. This person is white, or this person is young, or this person is black, or this person is Asian, Pacific Islander, or this person is Arab, Middle Eastern, or this person is Latinx, or this person is old, or this person is a farmer, or a person who is urban or Lutheran. You can kind of fill out the list. I ascribe characteristics to all these people without really seeing them. And then I wonder about the masks I wear. Wife, daughter, mother, sister, pastor, friend, the presiding bishop, yikes. When interactions are fraught, the staff have identified what they call my queen face. What masks do we all wear? Some are appropriate. We don't have to emote all over everyone every time. And it's good to have some boundaries. Some are needed for safety, but none of these is who we really are, and all of these take energy. As we've been returning to in-person worship and once again celebrating communion, I've witnessed a beautiful phenomenon. When people come forward to receive the host, they momentarily remove their masks. One by one, in the face of our Lord's body, they reveal themselves, and they are revealed. Their faces appear, no mask, no covering, no defense, no need for defense. For that instant, they no longer carry the burden of wearing the mask of their demographic, heritage, or ethnicity. They are no longer called upon to be stoic. And at that moment they realize, on earth, what we shall know in heaven. God sees us. God loves us. In God we find our true selves. We find rest. From 1 Corinthians 13:12, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known.